Yeah. Been better.
Let's talk about it.
I'd say not bad, but I've been better.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, let's get some liquid courage to help out with the vent. Doing Hazy Hearted IPA. This is just such a tasty beer out here. I don't drink it as often as I should. I don't know where they're out of. Oh, Michigan. Comstock. Never heard of it. Good beer, though.
I've never seen it, but I'll keep an eye out if it makes its way.
Oh, yeah. They got like a bunch of different style of fish on their cans.
Fish. But, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quality.
I made a Negroni.
Hey.
Had to go a little extra strong for this one, I think, but got to do what you got to do.
I know where we're going, Chad. I think last time we spoke, the distance between Arsenal and Liverpool was 8.
Sounds right.
And we've almost doubled it. Almost. Not quite. But I'm gonna lean further to the almost.
Sure. That's fair.
Liverpool has one game more than y'all played right now, and we're up 13 points. And after that game in the midweek, I got a notification on my phone from the Sleeper app saying Premier League champions Liverpool. And I went, wait a minute.
That's a little bad omen. I don't know.
I looked at that and I clicked on it because I was like, they have to mean something else by it. And they were like, they were pretty much saying like the title's over. And we've seen it. We've seen these leads happen. You can, start to write it in, but to straight out say Liverpool are the champ. I was like, that is crazy talk. I was like, I had this conversation with Kristen. If Mo Salah goes down tomorrow, I mean, let's be honest, that team could, I don't want to say catastrophically fail, but without Mo, I don't know what we are.
It's a different team for sure.
Very different. A team that we haven't, I mean, we've had Mo for, like, this is year 8 going on 9. We've played through Mo this last decade. And to now, if he goes down with 10 games left, things could get spicy. At least Arsenal, their eyes would get big. Saka would be coming back a little sooner. I think we'd see, honestly, I think we'd see more pep in your step in these games. You know, I think we'll talk about your creativity right now is lacking, to say the least. And that's my fear in something happening to mostly Mo. I think anyone else on the team, I think Virgil could be a 1B if something happens to Virgil. How do we figure that out? But that our back line can do back line things, you know, with or without Virgil. It's the goal scoring, the creating, the passing that Mo brings that no one else is capable of doing that to that level. So that scares me. That notification right there definitely made me a pause on the celebrations just because of how like absurd it was. And it's clickbait. I know you got me, but it's a very wild thing to throw out there with 10 games to go.
Yeah. I mean, the point gap is significant at this stage, right? Like it would take something kind of catastrophic like Salah going out or multiple Liverpool players going out for things to switch, especially with Arsenal's, you know, attacking issue at the moment. Yep. But I'm in the side of the fans that are probably more on the optimistic side. And, you know, I'll believe until it's fully said and done of out of reach, right? Because, like you said, we've seen these point gaps before. We've seen how quickly things can shift with an injury or just spell a bad form, whatever it might be. All that to say, you know, I'm optimistic and will believe, but I'm also pretty keep it kind of realistic in my expectations as the season goes along. So not getting my hopes up or anything, but I think it's early to maybe not early. I don't know. I think it's just a little bit much to name a champion right now, just because things can happen. There's enough time for the craziness to happen. Like we saw Leicester win this league, right? And like, that's crazy in itself. So things can happen. I don't know if they will. I don't think they will, but to throw out a notification of like it's said and done is premature, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
Wild. I was shocked when that came up. And
yeah,
you know, if we do the math, Chad, which I said you were doing math earlier. I don't know if we're doing the same type of
math. Not that math.
So hypothetically, if Arsenal lose their next four and Liverpool win three, that's the separation we need to be claimed champions. If we're on the same pace, win for win, draw for draw, May 3rd is the day when we can be claimed champions. So I don't expect y'all to lose four in a row. But again, I could maybe see Arsenal in the next five dropping two, which makes that magic number of May 3rd a lot shorter. I mean, y'all have United coming up, which I don't expect you guys to drop that game. But, you know, Chelsea could be a tough matchup too if the old Chelsea decides to show up, which they could against Arsenal. And then just going down the list here, you know, we got Liverpool and Arsenal May 10th. And that's the game that would be our first one to get our honor guard. So it would be bittersweet, I think, to kind of have that conversation with you, you know, as soon as the championship is then given to Liverpool. Arsenal is the first one to congratulate them. Is it fitting?
I feel like it would be fitting at that stage. Like, it's really only been Arsenal and Liverpool in this title race, right? So if you're going to give the first honor guard, I feel like hopefully second place at that point in time is, you know, the one that should give it to you. But I think I'm just like, assuming everything continues as it is and you know, we get to that point, you know, I'm disappointed that we were like, we lost out on what could have been just a crazy run in to that title, right? Of like, we had, you know, the Liverpool Arsenal game to come, which could have been the title decider or at least swung points a big way either side.
Could have been a huge game.
Yeah, and it's a little bit, you know, unfortunate that Arsenal's in the position they are with, you know, no real strike force and lacking creativity and you know, but even in that, like, you look at our form compared to Liverpool's form over the whole season, but even, you know, last 5-10 games, and like, it's not all that different. It's just Arsenal has picked up more draws when they needed wins to close the gap. And yeah, they have a, you know, another loss or two in there now, but it's just crazy that like, kind of to echo what I guess Arteta was saying in his press conference, is like, you know, so many teams are dealing with injury and it's completely derailed their season. You look at the Tottenhams, you know, even United, I'll give them the grace of injury. You know, these teams that should be doing better, but were just like ravaged by injury and it's tanked their whole season. Where Arsenal, we had, you know, our best player for half the season, right? And, you know, then lost a few other pieces along the way and even a little bit here and there before that. And still second, like still somewhat keeping pace with Liverpool, who's, you know, luckily been mostly injury free, especially to key players. You know, it's, I wish it would have worked out so we could have just had that, like, competitive run in, and like this Arsenal Liverpool game would have like been this huge kind of moment. I guess, because it still could, but you know, not looking likely, I guess, is if you're being real. But you know, it's I don't know, just bummed that I don't even care about winning title at this point. It'd be great. You know, it would be an incredible story at this point of the season with all the troubles, but like, I wish it would have been just more of a run in with both teams and being able to kind of fire on all cylinders the whole way. But, you know, that's sport, and
the football, it is what it is. The football fan in me would like that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But as the Liverpool fan, I want this thing to be in the bag in three games. I mean, let's be honest.
No, definitely.
I get your point. Of course you want that May 10th game to be, you know.
Yeah.
I hope that game means something. I bet you do. But, of course we want the high-end drama game. Who doesn't love a season to come down to the very last game, or at least, you know, in the last couple? It's bittersweet being a big football fan and a team who's about to win a title. You know, of course you want good games. You want every game to matter, but also
take your win and, you know, enjoy it. If, you know, as the fan of that team, like, take it, run with it, like, have your fun. I think, like, you know, I've talked about the subreddit goes like super just doom and gloom after any not win performance, basically. So as you could probably imagine, it's been a lot of that, especially post, you know, Havertz getting injured and having like no real striker now. For me, it's always been like how we've always kind of, even, you know, in the goals we pick and stuff, of like the context of things matters. And, you know, so context of the season, you know, still kind of a good season for Arsenal, despite all the red cards and the bad luck with injuries and weird calls and non-calls and, you know, whatever may have happened. But, like, just we had two previous years of like, really good Arsenal play and, you know, ideally would have won a championship in those years. But, you know, didn't pan out. But at the same time, like I said, like, we're still pretty much keeping pace with Liverpool as burdened as Arsenal has been. You know, you look in the last 10, you know, it Arsenal's won 7, Liverpool 6, Arsenal drawn 2, Liverpool 4, Arsenal lost 1, Liverpool 0. So it's like, they're right there. They're pretty much level, even without Arsenal being full strength. And, you know, it's hard to take, because when you break it down, like, yeah, it's still a good return from the team, but potentially could have been better with the right pieces there and, you know, not some crazy red cards at the start of the season and, you know, all this. But the Arsenal fan in me is bummed, of course, because it's not looking great, but the sport fan in me is again optimistic, but like realist in this, and not so like black and white, where I feel like a lot of sport fans can get that way of like, season's over, you know, lose as many as we can so we get the better draft pick, or just who cares about this season because it's over now, like, let's look forward to summer. It's like, I get we all want to win, but in like this modern day and age, I think it's been so hard, especially with the likes of, you know, Man City and stuff, where they can, if something's not working, like, they can buy up they spend, you know, over 100 million or whatever in January, which is, you know, not something teams do, like, you know, and Liverpool, you know, they've spent wisely and, you know, probably better than Arsenal have. And, you know, but they also get the nice story of, you know, ending Klopp's tenure and bringing in this new manager and kind of the mystery around that, how that would turn out. And it's going great, but, you know, not without the good fortune of not a lot of big key injuries. And that's just how it goes sometimes. Like, it doesn't have to be the black and white of like, we suck, Arteta out because we can't keep up with Liverpool, yada yada. It's like, there's so much more nuance of a 38 game season plus all the in between games in there. Like, it's a long story, and I don't know. It's I feel like I'm in a weird subgenre of internet Arsenal fan, where it's like, I don't really subscribe to the doom and gloom that happens so easily and so frequently, but I get it. You want to win, but at the same time, it's like, these are like actual human players out there. Things will happen. You know, they can have a great game and still miss every shot, or every shot gets saved because the keeper's having a great game as well, right? Like, just how it goes.
Just for context of the story, City spent $180 million in the winter transfer window.
Yeah, see, that's crazy.
It's so crazy.
Like, to keep up with, you know, top table play that these days, you almost have to spend or spend like incredibly wisely, which I feel like Liverpool has done. And
oh my gosh, look at our Szoboszlai, McAllister, Endo situation. In there too. Our four midfielders cost, I want to say in grand total, probably around 115.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, this season has been such a Klopp continuation of what culture he brought into the club, and then just a handoff to Arnie and just be like, just sign the paper, right? Here it is. Like, he couldn't do it last year just because of a couple things that might have happened. I think burnout was probably a good one in there. You know, new players coming in. I mean, those four guys I just mentioned, you know, brand new to the system. Look at how they played last year compared to this year. I mean, look at Dominic right now. Oh God.
Yeah.
He's easily becoming our best player. I got goosebumps.
This is the Szoboszlai, like,
yes,
I was jealous of when you guys signed him.
Yes.
You know, I get it was new team. I think Klopp was just playing him too deep anyway. But now seeing him play a little bit more forward, a little bit more unleashed, and like be able to be cohesive with that attack, you see the player he is, and it's just he's another special piece. And I mean, yeah, one you got for a good deal, I think. And you know, that's what it comes down to sometimes, just like finding that right piece. Whether it's, you know, it doesn't always have to be the Declan Rice £100 million signing and
hungry,
stuff, like,
baby. They got some good players.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, you know, I guess the big blemish on this season for Arsenal will not be making any signings in January.
Yeah.
Right. Even with, you know, not knowing that Kai Havertz is going to go down injured, you were still very light in attack. No Saka for a while. You know, Martinelli went down injured right before their trip to Dubai, which was still in the winter window. You know, Jesus was out. You got to look at, you know, a team like Villa where they picked up Rashford and Asensio on loan. Are they players you want for the long term? Maybe not, but it's someone. It's a person that knows how to play an attacking role in a football team, and I think Arsenal needed to do better to just get anyone like that in. If it's a loan, if it's, you know, a cheaper buy, like, yeah, maybe you don't want to spend that money, but you left yourself so exposed.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
And I think you, in hindsight, looking at last year's season and the player that left to go to another country and how y'all play with your super strong wingers, call me crazy, I think y'all would have won the title last year if you had Firmino. He's in Saudi right now. He wants out. Chad, I was watching highlights of him dishing the ball to Mane and Salah and just like being just crisp, right?
Yeah.
Not a guy who's going to go score a bunch of goals, but just has the perfect touch and almost never messes up, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mess up. That was the perfect glue guy for those. We talk about Salah and Mane on that amazing Liverpool squad, but it would have never happened without Firmino. It just wouldn't have. And I feel like with Arsenal playing very similar in how they use their wingers, he's just the perfect guy to set everyone up. And now he's, of course, a couple years older than when I think you maybe could have signed him. I don't. I still think he's probably a solid option. And he wants out of Saudi. He's trying to find a new club. You know, looking back at winter transfer window, I think, like, why didn't Arsenal at least attempt to go for him? I think the injuries really piled up quickly, so it wasn't even a thought. I don't know. I just had that kind of almost like what if moment. What if y'all would have had him?
Yeah.
And it would have been interesting,
it's fair.
For sure, because
yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It you know, I think even assuming Havertz would have made the rest of the season, they should have brought in someone else. Havertz already was playing almost every single minute of every game, right? Mm. Like he was already dog tired at the end of some of those games, you know, leading up to their little trip to Dubai to hopefully refresh everyone. But I think you probably should have put out every feeler you could of anyone that wants out, anyone that's unsettled, anyone that's on loan. You know, if you're currently or previously or maybe expected to be able to perform at the high enough level just to, again, maybe not bust in 10-20 goals in a half a season, but hold your own up there, be able to mesh well with you know, the style of play of Arsenal. Like, they needed to throw something out there, and I don't know, you know, everyone points a finger at Arteta, but like, I really don't think that's much of his call. I know they're kind of in between directors of football, which certainly doesn't help the situation, but, you know, we know they plan transfers and stuff like windows ahead, right? It's not like, oh, January's coming up, it's December, let's sit down and talk about it. Yeah. No, it's like they have ideas already, and of course, you know, circumstance and injury and stuff will change things and maybe progress things or whatever, but they had to do something, and to not do anything was, you know, the not the final nail in the coffin, but like maybe the heaviest nail in the coffin.
That's fair. Do you feel like who would have been the guy you would have wanted to possibly make a run at the title this year?
The thing, I don't even have a single player in mind of like, if we got him we would have been okay. It's like, I know they were looking at Sesko, but he wanted to stay till the end of the season, which, you know, fair enough. Why not? But again, he's on the younger end, so he's a little bit of the mystery of if he'll come in and click right away and, you know, get up to speed. So I think, you know, January window, you almost have to disregard like a lot of stats and just look at experience and how well they might fit with your play style. So yeah, like a Firmino would have been great. You know, I don't think you're prying Ivan Tony away from his bag, but you know, I think a Tony could have been great. I think you maybe could have tried looking down the table, and you know, Evan Ferguson went on loan. Mm-hmm. Again, he's young, but he has Premier League experience. Maybe worth a shot, you know. Even, you know, Rashford is not a center forward kind of striker, but
could have
maybe you bring him in. It could have maybe worked. He's at least in his brief appearances at Villa looks better than Sterling. So
it's true. I don't think Arsenal made any attempts for Duran. I just found it interesting they went for Watkins. Who was around the same price. I don't know if Arsenal would have sold. That's the thing, though. Would Aston Villa even sold Duran to Arsenal? I guess when the money talks. But since he's only 21, it's almost like a smart investment. I mean,
yeah,
you don't know what you're getting in the long run.
I feel like I saw one article, but I feel like the source was pretty sketchy, of like that Arsenal were somewhat interested in Duran before he went. But, you know, I don't know that Villa would have sold anyway, because not direct rival, but I think a close enough rival. And, you know, especially in recent years, like Villa and Arsenal have had a little bit of a rivalry, I guess you could say. So, yeah, I don't know if that would have happened, but like, yeah, I don't know if Arsenal tried or not, but, it, you know, I think you give it a go. You saw this guy not really getting starting minutes. Mm-hmm. He would sub in more often than not, it seemed like, score a goal, or if not the winning goal. You know, even if you just wanted to take the loan route, Villa might have been open to that, because then he gets more experience, more, you know, time in the shop window, and they could still sell him to Saudi for whatever money if they really wanted to in the summer. But yeah, I don't know. It's I'm happy with the season, how it's gone, considering the context of everything, except for that one, you know, giant blemish in January of just like zero reinforcement.
Right. Yeah, that's tough. And again, I still believe this. I say it often. Titles come with a little bit of luck and lack of injury. I still stand by that. For any championship, you look down the line and the competition that that you go up against, you just see the other teams and what they face and what injuries they had. And you can go down the list here. I think Forrest is probably the anomaly here on who was injured on their team. But you can go down to City, of course, had some – I mean, Rodrigo.
But, I mean, City crumbles with Rodri out.
Yeah. Rodri, sorry. Not
like
Rodrigo.
That's one player that's out, and they're kind of – like, it's been known they crumble with that. Whereas, like, yeah, Arsenal lost Saka, so goals suffered and all that, but they found a way to kind of still maintain their level for the most part, right? And it's like –
They've dipped, but they haven't fallen, right?
Sure, yeah.
City,
yeah, I mean,
City has fallen. We can say they have fallen, especially in the first, week 6 to, 20. That was probably the roughest stretch of football anyone's had outside of Southampton.
Yeah.
It was then, too. We had that conversation. So, you're not in those talks. And that's something to definitely, look at with some positivity there and optimism is even through the struggles, even through the injuries, we're in second. And we haven't even brought it up yet. You still got an international tournament you're in. Okay.
Yeah.
You were top 8 in. So you can't throw away this season yet.
No.
I mean, I'm not saying you're going to throw it away, but I'm just, when we go to the doom and gloomers. Well,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you read the subreddit and it's thrown away. That's
brother, you're top 8 in Champions League. You don't know that. And that's why I love tournaments. Is you never know. Like anything can happen. Truly.
Yeah.
And we've seen it over time. These crazy games that go on. A couple years ago when Tottenham and Ajax played each other and Tottenham came back with that crazy finish. Barcelona and Liverpool. The Madrids, it's a crazy league, and you just need to find a way to score and hold down the fort, and thank God the aggregate scoring's over with. Don't have to worry about that anymore. So yeah, I mean the Champions League matchups are fascinating in itself. Maybe we play each other there, and winner goes to the final. That's like, I think it's set up that way, right? I think
it can happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that would be crazy too. It's like, it's just such a crazy season that Liverpool and Arsenal have been almost entwined like the whole time, whether it's competing at the top end of Premier League or like somehow working their way into the same side of the Champions League. Like, it's season's not done for me. Like I said, like I'll believe until, points gap is too much or we get knocked out, whatever. But, obviously it's taken a knock, but, I'm not letting it be over until it's actually over.
Of course. And we could get 3 Arsenal Liverpool games in 1 week.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine if this was a closer title race, how crazy those 3 games would be?
That would be nuts. It would be nuts.
You have the tougher side of the table, if I'm being honest. We don't talk much Champions League on here, but we might as well because we're it's going to be a clash for sure.
Yeah.
You want Madrid, for the Real version or the Atletico version?
I was thinking about this. I think getting through PSV is going to be a challenge just considering
they're hyped
what Arsenal is right now. And yeah, PSV looks decent enough to make some issue. But, assuming we get through that, I think I would take Real. I think either way is a very hard matchup, but I think Atletico under Simeone could just shut up shop. And if this Arsenal side is going to struggle to create and score, like, they're not getting past an Atletico, you know, low block defense, where Real, I think, will play a little bit more. I think will require the defensive end of Arsenal to, like, be on their game 110%, and still you're hoping for, like, a nice break or you know, some moment of magic on the Arsenal attack side. But I feel like that's at least a more open game than going against Atletico.
I disagree with that. I think beating Madrid 2 would mean a lot more, no matter where you finish. But I mean, let's just talk about Madrid really quick. I don't know if Real Madrid is going to beat Atletico, just based on what we've seen from Madrid. I mean, when they played City, they saw a very, very weak City side. Let's be honest. Very weak.
Yeah.
City, they threw that game. It's kind of unbelievable how they kind of just gave up. But we've seen problems. Of course, Madrid's starting to come alive. I've been trying to watch more of their games to see what they're doing. They get a lot of opportunities, but they just struggle to really finish. And Mbappe is he's going to shoot. I think when you can create, I don't know, like pressure situations for him to find awkward angles, he struggles there. You get him out of the box. You make him go on his weak foot. He's not having the best time. It's the X factors that are going to come in. Who the Rodrigos, where they call Vinny Jr. An X factor, even though he's a top dog. So it's got to be someone but Mbappe to win those games. And I don't know, Madrid's done it for a while now, but as we move along in this bracket, it's just going to get tougher and tougher. So
yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, as we get further into this, assuming we get past PSV, you know, Saka's expected back mid-March.
Yeah.
Of course, he won't come back, you know, full swing, full 90, full form, but once we get him back out there, I think automatically our creativity is going to go up because he's been our most creative player still, and he only played 14 games in the Premier League this season. Like, he's the missing piece right now. You know, there's been a lot of discourse against Odegaard in recent weeks, which somewhat fair. He made a lot of interesting runs in that West Ham game. and you know, maybe passing hasn't been as crisp, but like that whole right side is new, basically, right? He has, you know, Enweri there, who's a different player than Saka. He has Timber, who's been there most of the season, but it's still not the Timber Saka relationship that was there. It's you know, that's different too. So everything's just kind of different on that right side. And it's just everything's a little bit different, right? You don't have Havertz with you anymore. I don't think he's as bad as everyone's trying to make it out to be. It's just a different team around him right now in that attacking half, at least. And, you know, I think if Saka's there, that's at least one more piece that is familiar to him and known. And, you know, it's something to look at. You know, I should have saved it. It was on Reddit a few days ago of like the most successful through balls in the Premier League this season. And Odegaard, I think, was number one. So like he's trying, just unfortunately there's no runners in front of him now. So, you know, it's kind of hit a wall, but you know, he's a new dad. He's not sleeping much.
Odegaard's a new dad?
Oh yeah. Pretty recently. Oh, yeah. Okay. You know, they just had a kid, so that's of course a external toll on him. Yeah. Plus, probably the toll of just what this season has become. I'm sure, you know, watching Saka go out, watching Jesus go out, watching Martinelli go out, watching Havertz go out, has like been blow after blow, as well as some of these games of you know, even if it wasn't a loss but ended in a draw, just like some blows there that at a certain point is tough to cope with, but like, you know, being captain, I think you gotta take that on, try and spur your guys forward, and I think he does well at that. I think it's, you know, I'm not unhappy with him or anything. It's just a different team right now, which that's just what it is. You know, it's hard to place finger blame anywhere. You know, it's just everyone's trying to do the best they can, and it's already a light squad and just got much lighter without anyone in front of you.
Yeah, squad depthening next year is key to your success. I mean, I look at Liverpool, and when we're able to bring in a Connor Bradley, a Curtis Jones, a Jota, a Nunez, right? A whole team that has been starters before. It's a nice feeling. It really is.
Yeah.
Those guys have minutes, and seeing Kwanzaa come in for Trent now at right back when we need him, it's like, just feels very secure. It's like, okay, Slot has found a system of essentially role players who come in, do their jobs, and, you know, lock down the game when Endo comes in, dude, he's the game ender. It's like, we know Endo's there, and he's going to protect the ball, and he's one of those guys that just doesn't mess up. So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to seeing how Champions League goes. We got PSG, so that'll be interesting. PSG is so different from recent years in terms of their attacking. Yeah. It's just, you know, I would say not a lot of big names over there, but really effective guys, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, they got a lot of B-plus players, right?
With
some shining stars in there, too. You know, they don't have, what do we see? Mbappe, Neymar, Messi, right? Those guys don't, like, not even close. It's Barcola, Dembele, and, gosh, I don't even know who's their number nine right now.
I think it's Koulibaly.
Koulibaly, yeah, that sounds right.
I think so,
And again, they still got guys. They got Coutinho's back there. I mean, they got a good Hakimi. We can't forget about Hakimi.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't fall asleep those games. But matchup-wise, I think we match up pretty damn good against them.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how we set up our attacking force and who's going to get that striker role. Are we going to go more Diaz in the middle with Gakpo on the left, Saul on the right? Do we want to go Jota in the middle and then Diaz on, like, we have options, which, again, great thing when you got options and you can really mix it up on a team like this. So yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. I can't believe it's already here. Champions League now. This month, this like month and a half, Chad, has been so crazy. Not just with life, but how much football is happening. It's I'm not saying I can't wait for a break, but just having like no Premier League this weekend and just FA Cup, it's like, oh, fuck.
It's like, thank God. No, I feel you. Yeah, it's been like, I mean, I guess a little bit on me for not looking ahead at the schedule, but it kind of caught me off guard of like how back-to-back like so many different games were.
And look, we're complaining and we're not even playing the damn games. So when the players talk about how these games are in such a compact schedule, I
get
when you try to cover them, it's like, holy crap. So, you know, I didn't want to sit around and watch too much FA Cup this weekend. Yet it still was entertaining to see what was going on. I don't know. I don't have too much more to say about Liverpool. I don't know if you got any more notes. We just went 40 minutes on a Liverpool Arsenal highlight package, which was very needed. I mean, we didn't even talk about City handling. I'm sorry, Liverpool handling City.
Yeah,
we don't need to talk about it. But
We all saw.
We all took a nap that second half because Liverpool took a nap. Everyone in the stadium almost took a nap that second half.
Oh, for sure.
And it felt good. That was one of the easiest wins of the season.
Yeah, that was a wild one. Like, of course, it was kind of built up and anticipated, even with City being the city they are this year. But, you know, coming back into form, you could say, and you know, I think everyone went into it expecting a good head-to-head battle, and first half, you know, all game was all Liverpool, but first half, I guess, was, you know, City made their presence known a bit. Maybe.
They showed that Doku still knows how to play.
Yeah, yeah, like that was their biggest highlight of the whole game. And for Liverpool to be able to go up and then just, like, cruise control the whole rest of the game was not great from, like, a viewing perspective, but, you know, silly and fun to watch, like, City just, like, have no idea what to do and,
blue, dude.
No, and like, no way to get through.
No, it was a great watch in terms of how far apart these clubs are now in terms of where they're at. It's nice just being able to handle City. I mean, I worry. It's just crazy. Like, I was more worried about the, I think, in hindsight, like, the Newcastle game rather than the City game. I mean,
of course,
New Holland makes a big difference, but, you know, Newcastle has kind of been a bogey team for us in the last year. But, you know, if we talk about FA Cup right now and seeing Anthony Gordon lose his head, it loses his cool because someone almost lost a head this weekend. which was a whole another crazy situation. But part of me made me go kind of like, ooh, like, I don't know. I don't, like, of course, Liverpool and Gordon have been linked for a while, but seeing that kind of blow up, if shit gets a little rocky, I don't know if I want to touch that.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, certainly, like, not necessary at that point. Like, I get, you know, maybe he got frustrated with, you know, maybe more of the challenges or whatever throughout the game and, like, that was his kind of release, but, like, just such a dumb move. Like, it's any of those somewhat kind of sneaky pushes and stuff, you got to know, just don't ever fly anymore in the VAR era that we're in now. Like, they're going to look at it, and more often than not, you're going to get caught. It's stupid, and, you know, it's... If I'm Liverpool, if I'm any other team higher than a Newcastle looking at him, that's certainly a moment to be like, whoa, step back and, like, let's get a more full picture on him.
Yeah, and I look at it like, you know, he has big games coming up too that he's now going to miss against Liverpool.
I mean,
which is
what he's going to miss the semi-final of FA Cup final.
No, the Caribou Cup.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So to have that, I don't know. He knows he can't, like, unless he didn't know he couldn't get a red card and he would lose out on these games, which is crazy to say, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was his attitude after. It was his attitude during, and then to be shocked that he got a red card. I was like, "What? What do you expect here?"
Yeah.
Newcastle, man. I had him being second in the Premier League in our second half predictions. I think top four is probably out of their realm. I don't think with how they're playing, what I'm seeing. I think. They even might be content with where they're at.
I think so. Like, they don't have as many goal scorers as I feel like they did last season. Whereas, like, you know, last season wasn't an incredible success, but I felt like goals came from a lot of places. And, you know, if Colin Wilson got subbed in, it felt like he was getting a goal. It was scrappy, but he was getting a goal.
Joe
Willock was picking up goals. Joe Linton was picking up goals. Jacob Murphy, you know, all these guys. And it feels like this season, it's for Newcastle, it's like if Isak's not getting a goal, the whole team is not working.
I think Trippier fell off so hard.
He was
such a source for them to play on that right side. And now he just doesn't really exist anymore. So they've had a retune their style, and it just hasn't been great. So, yeah, no, that's a fair take. And then, you know, if we jump to Palace, man, we're about to, dude, I'm so mad that Mateta and the Millwall keeper. I don't even know his name. I don't want to know his name. What the hell, dude? What was that? That guy has to be suspended or banned for X amount of time. That was probably the worst tackle. I can't even call it a tackle. A worse spike to the face I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I think if there's anything to like rival it, not to like try and find a comparison, but was it Donnarumma who hit, got like a foot to the face this season?
The other way around. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But I think he was sliding. Was he sliding?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Yeah. But it's that same sort of thing of just like,
oh yeah, that one's not great.
No, it's not great. And I think that one you could probably find more just like unfortunate circumstance in it. Whereas this one was like, I guess you could find a way to argue like he's going for the ball, but it was just so, why are you having your foot like that high and going for it in that way at that moment, right? Like, you're the keeper.
Yeah.
You can do almost anything, right? And like, even if you clock Mateta with your glove, like you're more protected. You probably get away with that. Though he almost did with, you know, Michael Oliver's refereeing, but
what is going on? I just watched the Donnarumma fit accident. Mm-hmm. Bad accident.
Could have done
more to as the attacker to prevent it. But Donnarumma was sliding. He was trying to jump over him. His face was essentially in the way.
Yeah.
Mateta was just like normal posture running.
Yeah.
But that crazy, man. It's crazy. And so watching it and then hearing that it had to go to VAR, I was like, okay, I wonder what Oliver might have seen, right? I try, man, to be fair and give him benefit of the doubt. Let's look at the whole thing. But I don't get what... I want to know what Oliver's initial... No, it's no card. Like, what? Why?
Yeah.
Why did he think that? And I don't know. I haven't looked into it. I haven't got his thoughts. I'm sure he didn't share much. The red came out, which was great. Apparently, Mateta's ear is really messed up. So I don't know...
Fair enough.
Again, I don't know. They're saying he probably could have lost an eye if it, you know, was a couple inches to the left or right or wherever the spike was. I haven't seen any pictures.
I'm just watching it back now, and I feel like Michael Oliver's in an incredibly great position to see this
Is he behind Mateta?
He's, like, behind and, like, a touch to Mateta's left, but when collision happens, it's only keeper and Mateta. You know, there's no other blockage there. And you know, keeper clearly comes up with boot incredibly high. You know, and it's at the top of the D, so you know, yeah, I guess keeper, yeah, won't go for hands, obviously, unless he wants to get a red card anyway, but for Michael Oliver to deem that okay, you know, to not even want to give it a yellow initially, I don't even know if he was going to call a foul. I don't think he was. He lets play go on. He lets Palace take a shot. So I guess maybe he was playing advantage.
So
I don't know. But
you're watching it right now.
Yeah.
Let's just... I'm going to compare. I'm a big comparison here, okay?
Sure.
Keeper got to the ball first.
Keeper got to the ball first. I guess.
So, I'm just thinking here.
Mm-hmm.
Saliba got the red card when he got to the ball first. This is so night and day in terms of what happened with those two. It's a crazy comparison, right?
Yeah.
The violent conduct in this play is, oh God, was Oliver reffing that game for Saliba?
Oh,
because Saliba didn't get to go to VAR. He got the red right away, right?
Yeah.
I'm just curious as to what What makes this a fair play in terms of I got to the ball first versus a dangerous play, I got to the ball first? Because we can definitely rule this was a dangerous play, but he got to the ball first. Is it the spikes up? Is that where we're going to see? That's my only argument for Oliver in this one, is that he saw the keeper get to the ball first. I still can't find Oliver's vantage point.
Yeah.
And it's the follow-through that takes out Mateta, which, again, we've seen follow-throughs get red cards, right? Wasn't Anthony Gordon this year, too, who followed through?
I think
so. Got a red card? So it's a...
It was Anthony Taylor for the Saliba red card, so not much better, but...
No, same... different name, same guy. Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting thing to talk about, and you can definitely find people who will argue he got to the ball first, right? Shouldn't be a foul. I disagree with that take just because of what he did to get to that ball. He's not getting to that ball if he doesn't make this move.
Mm. And, right? and yeah, regardless of if he nearly takes off Mateta's head, like, he came into that dangerously, right? Which
so fast
is enough to constitute at least a foul. If you don't want to give a card,
yep,
okay, whatever, but at least a foul. And it looks as if Oliver was not even given that. Like, he let play continue and Palace took a shot. So maybe you say he played advantage. I don't know, but
it just crazy injury. Mateta was starting to get hot. Palace was starting to get hot, and now, you know, Nketiah is going to have to come in there and try to find some form.
Yeah.
He's been struggling. They have Sarr though, so that's still their bright spot. Mm-hmm.
They have Ipswich at home next, so I feel like that's at least a good team to take on after, you know, now missing your main striker for however long. So
I can't imagine his ear is that messed up.
Bad enough to go to the hospital, they said.
Yeah,
so
immediately. Yep. 25 stitches. Man, crazy. That was a crazy injury.
Jeez,
to a guy who the hooligans pitched love. It's the worst.
But we're still hot on Palace. They're
yeah, man.
I think they can keep looking up here, you know? If they can solve the Mateta hole, I think they're still moving forward.
I think they can find a way. I want to believe they can find a way, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see. What else, Chaz? This has been an interesting 2 weeks, to say the least. I guess Man United got very, very lucky beating Ipswich after playing so bad. I had that game on, and when I saw that first goal, the first goal for Ipswich within 5 minutes, I definitely was like, oh dude, like, they're gonna lose this game. It's just going to happen. And then Ipswich, played like Ipswich, and then they made it interesting kind of going into the second half. I wanted Man United to lose. I still think for Man United to squeak by a bottom three team, even down a man, it's just, which, by the way, did you see that tackle for the red card?
I don't think so.
Dorgu?
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
That was not good.
That was a bad one. Second game? Third game?
United gets the points, which is, vital points at this point for them. But, it was Ipswich. I get, of the bottom three, I think Ipswich is probably your toughest opponent. They seem to have the most fight, but, they're not the same fight as Luton would put up last season, and you know, push it to the end, right? I don't know. None of this was convincing that United was getting better, you know.
No.
I know they went out today, and I think today was FA Cup, right?
Yeah, they lost.
Yeah, to Bournemouth, I think.
Fulham.
Fulham. Yeah. So, you know, that's still playing like their full strength team. Like, it's just, I mean, I know we've ragged on United plenty already in these episodes, but I just don't know where you go from here.
It's a full sell off. You sell everyone except for maybe like two or three players, honestly.
Yeah. I think you have to, and I mean, yeah, I don't know what kind of money they got to spend before sales. But you need to make some big changes, because I think, I don't know if Amorim's the guy, but I think you at least owe him the start of next season, right? Like, yes. For him to come in mid-season is rough for any manager, and yeah, it's gone maybe worse than you were expecting, but you know, you got to give him at least give him a full year at least of time to get a couple transfer windows and time to make the team he wants to make. But even then, like, I don't know that you can make enough personnel changes in the summer to build a new team.
I mean, he's going to ask. It wouldn't shock me if he essentially says, I want us to buy everyone I almost had on Sporting. Like,
not a bad shout.
If that team came over to, God, could you imagine if just a straight team from another league, almost the same team?
Yeah, so what's it take to just swap teams?
I would love to see. I mean, that's what we see in Champions League, kinda.
Yeah.
I would just like to see the same amount of like toughness come in, right? We see the La Liga teams who are like, you know, they say Premier League is so much more physical, and La Liga is, you know, not a lot of players. I guess I don't want to say are physical, but I'd argue when I see La Liga games, man, the tackles they throw at you, you think twice before you're about to do a run down the line or something. I don't know. Their tackles just hit harder. They look different. And I imagine, I feel like Porto is kind of that same way. Not Porto, Portugal. The Portuguese league is similar in that. I don't get that sense from a Bundesliga or Serie A. It's just different style. And I would just be fascinated to see him bring over like his guys. Obviously they were really good. He wouldn't have got this Man United job if his players weren't really good over there. And they did fall apart.
I mean, I think he'll definitely look at some of those guys to bring them over. You know, just to highlight Victor Gyökeres, like his scoring potency, at least in the league, has quieted down, I'd say, significantly compared to before. I think, what, 16 goals before or when Amorim was there, and since he's left, he's had 7 goals since. So, you know, change of system certainly affects that.
It would not shock me if he is a Man United player next season.
No, not at all. I think it would be a known pickup, right? Like,
yep.
I think, you know, a lot of even Arsenal fans have pointed to him of like, oh, let's pick him up because, you know, he knows how to score, yada, yada, yada. But, like, I understand maybe the hesitation that Arsenal has around him. Like, yes, he was younger, but he was at Brighton for a few years. 2017 through 2019, he was with Brighton and didn't do much except for in some EPL2 games. You know, then he bounced around in the Championship and had a handful of goals here or there, but nothing like he was doing at Sporting. So I don't know. Maybe he's like Amorim's system at Sporting was his perfect fit, or, you know, the Portuguese league with Amorim's system was, you know, the everything was falling in place as it works best for him. Like, so I wouldn't be surprised if he comes to United, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he comes to United and continues to like not put up crazy numbers because different league and
yeah,
you know, all that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like to shit on United, but I feel like we've done it so much that I don't have much more to say.
Beating a dead horse, Chad.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I mean, I do want to say, like, not to get back onto Arsenal, but like a draw away at Forest, especially considering Arsenal circumstances, I feel like is a great result.
I kind of saw that coming, honestly.
Two defensively felt like it was coming,
teams, right?
Yeah, I felt like it was coming before we lost Havertz, and then I got nervous that it would go worse. Right, you know, Chris Wood, I expected to score because he'd just be doing that this season. You know, Arsenal on the day, I think, played much better than they did against West Ham. Created a lot more, had a lot more shots. Just Forest will defend because that's what they do. They try and hit you on the counter, right? And you know, to get a point away at number three team, your number two.
Sure.
That's great. I'll take it. So, you know, it's, again, another draw, which doesn't necessarily help Arsenal close the gap. But, again, context of the season and where we're at and who we have available, we take it.
I think Forrest has got to be sweating a little bit right now, considering they praise themselves on these defensive efforts. Well, they've let in an average of 3 goals in the last 4 games. Including the draw with Arsenal. So they've let in 11 on their last 3 before Arsenal. They got to... I don't know what the problem is. I have an idea. I think Nico Williams and Mario love to push forward. They love to attack. Mm-hmm. They love to hover that half line. I imagine that might be catching up to them a little bit, and teams are starting to seek out when they're pushing up and maybe a little bit. I mean, we look at Newcastle, who's just been struggling lately, and they put up 4 against Forest. Liverpool couldn't figure that out. Like, there's something going on there that teams are seeing, and I'm curious what that is. So I hope to catch one of their games soon. I think Forest is going to play City soon. Yes, that is
next.
Perfect. So
yeah,
I will be, I have a,
oh, that's a huge game actually.
Yeah. So I think City, if I'm City, I'm seeing how their backline is set up in terms of how they're possessing. And again, this is going to be a weird game because I don't imagine Forest to possess a lot this game. So this could be one of those stalemate type games, right? But when Forest have the ball, I think that is creating more problems for them.
Sure. Yeah.
I just don't think they're defensively sound when they have to control the ball. Look at the Arsenal Forest game. Perfect example. I haven't even looked to see what the heat map looks like, but I imagine Arsenal has, I'll say 1.5 more touches than them. Pretty close. 681 to 440. They let Arsenal control the game. Okay. Let's go to Forest and Newcastle. Who do you think had more touches?
Probably Newcastle.
It's Newcastle, but not by much. 696 to 560. Okay. So, crazy game plan. You give Forrest the ball to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad shout. Like, it's... I mean, they're you look at so many of their goals, and it's, you know, speed down the wings or sometimes through the middle, and you get that ball to Chris Wood. He's in the box. He's ready to tap it in, head it in, whatever, right? Like, that's kind of been their bread and butter. So you let them have the ball, but you're, you know, set up to defend any sort of counter movement, and they're probably not getting through you.
It's fascinating, Chad. In the Forest-Bournemouth game, when Bournemouth won 5-0, their touches were almost the same. Okay?
Really?
When Forest beat Brighton 7-0, Brighton had over 200 more touches than them.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So that's going to be something I'm going to start paying, especially in these losses.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the City game's going to be huge because obviously it can swing 3 and 4.
Right.
Right here, but you know, Forest at home, I think they're going to defend, but I think we'll be a little bit more eager to get the win, especially off of, you know, the draw against Arsenal. I think it's probably the threat of that, you know, the teams below them. They're only 4 points out of falling out of Europe, which is the goal this season for Forest, right? Like, you're already way and above of where you thought you could end the season. So at this point, let's protect a European spot as much as you can. Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch and see how both teams take that. I don't know. Is Haaland expected to be back? Or there's no real info on him.
Well,
he
played last week. He was in the game.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Okay. He scored a goal. City didn't.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
City
yeah.
didn't look great.
Yeah.
What did they win? Was it 1-0? Yeah, 1-0 against Tottenham. So it was all right. I don't expect. I expect probably honestly, if this game went 0-0, it would not shock me. Wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think Forest needed to catch City sleeping to win the game.
Hmm.
But City likes to sleep.
Yeah, could happen. That's definitely one to keep an eye on. I didn't realize that was coming up this weekend. So
yeah, definitely the game.
Nice.
Bright and early on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we'll see about watching that one. We'll see.
Yeah.
Just looking into the weekend, Chad, you guys got Man United. That will be must watch on Sunday. Liverpool have Southampton. For the love of God, please do not screw that game up. That's kind of, West Ham Newcastle on Monday should be a fun one to watch, probably.
Yeah.
West Ham starting to figure it out a little bit. Bournemouth Tottenham. Yeah.
That could be a good one. I feel like Wolves Everton could be spicy if you know, both teams are there, but I know Cunha got a red card over the weekend, so he'll be out, which
again, another dumb red card.
Yeah, Jesus. yeah, you know, I think that Forest City game is the real standout, even if it does end 0-0, but
so early,
you know,
why do they do that?
Yeah, most effect on the table, I guess, right? Like, yeah. Yeah, you know, away at United for Arsenal, like, Arsenal should win this. They just need to find a way to, like against Forest, they had a lot of shots, just not a lot on target, and that's more credit to Forest. They blocked a lot of shots. They locked it down, right?
Right.
I don't think United will do that. I hope Arsenal can find a way to get some goals going here, and you know, United Arsenal have like a historic kind of rivalry, so let's just treat it as such and bring a lot of energy and put this poor United team in their place.
I'm okay with pushing back our title dreams by 1 week if you all want to smash United. Totally cool.
Feel free. All right, fair enough. Message received.
And then, Chad, after this weekend for Liverpool, we don't have another EPL game until April 2nd.
What the hell?
Because we played our game with Aston Villa to get one game ahead of everyone. Why did you guys not have a game in hand too? I was curious about that. So yeah, we have FA Caribou Cup, Champions League, of course.
Interesting.
But yeah, not until April 2nd, unless that's everyone across the board.
Huh.
I don't think it is. Yeah, no. City has a game March 15th. So I think we got two weeks after the 15th.
Weird.
Yeah.
happy about that, or
like, am I happy?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. We're about to play PSG, and then like the break is, I think, going to be very much needed.
Yeah.
Now, if we lose against PSG, I don't think it matters. I don't think that break matters anymore.
Sure.
I think
it just, for me, the hesitation would be that, like, you're kind of in a good flow, and now you're kind of pulled out of that flow a little bit, but...
I don't know. I think the Liverpool flow is... This season has just been so upwards trajectory that it's... I'm not going to mind it too much. And I forgot to bring this up, too. I'm pretty sure whenever Liverpool played before Arsenal and we drew, you guys matched our result. But whenever you've whenever you've played before us, we've taken advantage of it. So
yeah.
I'm going to like kind of pay attention to who plays first on those weekends. Just it's not like it's going to matter too much at this point, but it still does. But it's
just,
I don't know, fascinating to see. Chad, that was a lot of Liverpool-Arsenal talk for...
It was, but...
An hour 10. It was needed. We're the most interesting story right now.
Exactly.
Everyone else is playing snooze ball over here. Jesus. It's true, dude. Look, Chelsea, snoozers. City, snoozers. Newcastle, snoozers. Bournemouth, snoozers. That's, even Forest, snoozers. Lost 2 out of 3.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
The only teams I'm shouting out right now in a positive light is Brighton. Brighton Palace.
Yeah.
And
Brighton Palace.
Throw Everton in there, too, because they haven't lost a game in forever.
Hell yeah.
The Mosiah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're kind of at that weird part of the season where it's like...
Figured it out.
Teams aren't... Yeah, they're not, like, fully geared up for, like, their season run-in. So they're kind of conserving, or they got the injuries or whatever. Like, everyone's kind of just cruising right now. And then here in the next couple weeks, it'll be like, you know, full steam ahead and push to get wherever you want to go. But yeah, I mean, it's not over till it's over. Right. But
that's what I'm saying, dude, solid goes down,
take what you can get. And
I just please injury gods. Please.
With the way he's been playing, I feel like he's got the plot armor this season. And
Chad, his last game was Messi-esque, and I don't say that lightly. He was setting everyone up, and it just, back of the net wasn't happening. But it was like the opportunities were there. It was crazy to watch, man.
But so I feel like that
were just amazing.
Yeah, like I feel like, you know, he obviously had his, you know, incredible seasons where he scored 40 goals, whatever it was, and but then he had, like, kind of when Liverpool went down, he, you know, understandably kind of sunk down too, but in those seasons we saw him kind of fall back to that more creator role, right? And I remember even, like, commenting on it when that was happening, of like, oh, he's in that kind of messy window of like stepping back from the scorer and doing the creator. And then this season, he's just like, why not both?
That's 100% what he chose. He gets to pick and choose when he wants to be the scorer or the facilitator. And I don't know if that's an internal conversation or just what he sees, or, you know, the gravity of people defending him. Really excited about the PSG game. I'm so curious how they're going to play him. I mean, PSG will easily be the best team we've played since... Tough. I don't know. I guess Arsenal, probably.
Maybe, yeah.
Wait, when did we last play you guys?
Not all that long ago.
No, it was a long time ago, Chad.
Really?
Yeah, it's October 27th.
Shoot, time flies.
We drew.
Yeah.
You know, we've had draws in between, but that game, just in my memory bank, was a struggle. The Forest games too, but different, right? That was Mm-hmm. That didn't feel like a head-to-head battle. That just felt like a we just can't break through. That Arsenal game, man, that was the spicy one. It was Saka, Virgil, Mourinho, and Salah, and it was
yeah,
it was a good one. It was a good one. All right, man, I'm tapped out. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. These last 2 weeks feel like a blur. Yeah. So much has happened. Mm-hmm. The table movement is probably the wildest thing from the one and two spots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. We got 10 games left. You guys got 11. We lose one, you win. It's 10 points now. Like
that's the thing. It can swing quickly, and you know, I don't want anyone to get injured, but if that happens or just downswing a form, whatever happens, like,
yep,
for any of these teams, like it can, you're, no one's really safe yet, you know, like obviously Southampton's going down, we know that much, but let's just, you know, even looking at the bottom, like Wolves, yeah, you're out by what, 5 points, but that's not a lot of space.
No,
Arsenal got Liverpool ahead of them quite a ways, but like right behind them, you know what, 6 points, Forest and City right behind that. Like Arsenal now, unfortunately, has to look kind of up and down, maybe more down than up, but a lot can still happen. I'm counting the days until Saka's back on that pitch, because he's going to bring such a new lease on life for this season, I think. So
breath of relief, I think, for you guys, especially when he scores a goal and y'all win. That'll feel really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite good. All right, Chad, I think we wrap it up there. Mm-hmm. Big games this weekend, big games this week, Champions League. We'll see what happens. You never know.
Yeah.
All right. With that, here we go, Fitch. We're out.
Peace.